votes, and the current Prime Minister, or the Huaiko Prime Minister, William John Blatt, was sitting in front of me at that time. And he said, or I said at that time, I said that the hand which tries to reach the weapons of resistance, whatever this hand be, it will be cut. And today, I keep this promise, the promise of this decision. The Israeli hand came to reach the weapons of resistance, and we cut this hand. And inside, in Lebanon, there were many attempts. They did not reach to the extent whereby they announced a war. But after the dark decisions taken by the dark government in Lebanon, no, that's enough. We believe that war has begun, and it's our duty to defend our weapons and to defend our resistance and to defend the legitimacy of this resistance. And let me say, I've warned all of our brothers, know, whoever it may be, even if it's my father who brought me to this world, even if my father wants to touch the telecommunications network, I think this is not a good way to speak about this, and I apologize to my father, but just to give an example, let me speak about, I just want to show you the sensitivity of the issue. They have crossed the lines here, and we won't deal easily with anyone, wherever he be. We know, we have information that the issue of a telecommunications network is a first step, and after that we have more steps. This is the information we have. If we take this issue lightly, then the battle will be about our rockets, about our shields, about all our weapons, about all our capabilities, all the capabilities of a resistance, these capabilities which defend the country, which defend the resistance against any Israeli military attack. Now, concerning the judicial procedures which were taken, now I'm not just speaking about slogans, I want to, of course, speak about action. And you have experience with us, and you can try us once again, but I don't advise you to try us. I don't advise you to try us at all. Let me speak about the judicial authorities issue. Of course, the judicial authorities hunting down anyone involved in the establishment of the network. Of course, we also want to speak in the same way. This network is for Hezbollah. And so Hezbollah owns this network. I, as a Secretary General of Hezbollah, let me say that I own this network. I possess this network. It's for me. I am the chief editor, if I could say, of this network. I finance this network. I use this network. And all of those who took part in the establishment of this network are fighters who are loyal to our cause. So the judicial authorities, maybe you'll say that I'm speaking in different ways. Sometimes I speak in a harsh manner. Sometimes I, of course, don't speak in such a harsh manner. Although we consider this government is illegitimate, the Lebanese judiciary authorities can send any judge they want to any place they want, and they can listen to me. I'm ready to speak to judges, and I also have certain complaints to the other side. I say that those people in the ruling majority took this decision to serve America and Israel and to light up a civil war. And I can also take this issue to court. I am a Lebanese citizen, and I can also file a complaint to the Lebanese judiciary. Now, the Lebanese judiciary play the role of referee. Those others who took part in the establishment of this network and who consider themselves as helping the resistance, of course, whoever they are not to be harmed, whether they be companies or individuals, employees, whoever they are, whoever was involved in the establishment of this network is not to be harmed. Anyone who harms them harms me. And anyone who harms them harms a commander of a resistance. It is not allowed to harm anyone. If you harm them, this means you're reaching out to touch our weapons. Whoever wants to arrest us, we will arrest them. Whoever wants to open fire on us, we'll open fire on them. And whoever touches any of these people involved in the establishment of a network, any hand which comes to reach this them will be cut. So we don't need all this furor about the judiciary. It's up to me. I welcome any judge to come to listen to me, and we'll see who is violating sovereignty, who is violating law. Unfortunately, today, the head of the government in Lebanon is a thief, well, Mr. Wade Jumblatt, who confesses that he is a thief. He says, I have two books, and he is a liar. He is a clear liar, a master of lying. 25 years, he confessed himself. He said, I've been lying for 25 years. He's a murderer. He also confessed to this. And today, those who are controlling the country and the leaders, of course, from the different secretarian groups, those who want to go with him in his team, he is a murderer, a liar, a thief. He goes and gives instructions and gives orders, and the resistance, the fighters, who were not for them, Lebanon would still have been an Israeli Lebanon. Of course, is it acceptable that our fighters will be taken to the courts? Nobody can take our fighters to court, to the judiciary. This state is not a state, it is a gang. And even if it's supported by the whole world, if Bush gives them support every day, this is like they are being criticized. If Bush supports them, it's as if they are being criticized and insulted. Now, concerning the network, this is enough. Let me speak about the second issue, which is the airport. Now, concerning the airport is not just about General Wafik Ishaer. After the parliamentary elections, of course, we were allies, as you know, during the elections. We were allies. We were a part of this government. There were many pressures exerted against us to remove General Shaer from his post, the head of the security, to bring about another person to take care of security at the airport. I don't want to name anyone. Of course, we refused any alternatives, and a problem came up because of this. Why do they insist on removing General Shaer? Let me tell you something. General Shaer is not part of the Amal movement. He's not part of Hezbollah. He does not belong to any opposition party. General Shaer is a general in Lebanon. And, of course, we all say that this Lebanese army is an army which is for the country, and General Shaer is part of the army. He's just like any other national general, Lebanese general. Of course, they abide by upholding the law, not by upholding the orders of the leader. They don't believe that the leader is the law, or the law is the leader, or that the wishes of the leader are the law. If he is in a good mood, he abides by the law. If he's not, he violates the law. General Shaer doesn't think in this way. Of course, from the very beginning, they wanted to control the airport, not to steal, because they are stealing. Now in the airport, of course, we have many things going and coming for the government. Even General Shaer doesn't know about it. We have many, of course, suitcases, packages which come and go. We don't know what are in these suitcases. Of course, weapons, money, black, white, I don't know. But the main issue is that they want to transform the Lebanese airport to a base for the FBI and the CIA and for the Israeli Mossad, very clearly. This is what they aim to do. Where is the security problem in the airport? We have flights coming and going, people going and coming, tourists going and coming. There's no problem in the airport. There's no problem at all. Yes, the presence of a national general who they know that is abiding by the law is an obstacle which prevents them from transforming Beirut's airport, the airport of the martyr Rafiq al-Hariri, into an airport which becomes a base for the FBI and the CIA and the Mossad. This is a problem for them. And so, for this reason, they want to get rid of General Shaer. All of our previous attempts failed, of course. Even after we left the government, they tried. But they had the problem of President Lahoud, who did not sign such a decision to remove Mr. Shaer. Now, this illegitimate government believes that it has the authority of a president and went and took this step. And, of course, they aim to bring a general who abides by the instructions of the CIA and the FBI. This is the whole issue about the airport. Very, very clearly, we cannot take responsibility of a base for the CIA right in our home, right next to our bases. We cannot accept this, a base for the CIA next to us. The, of course, honor of our people comes before anything else, before anything else. Now, here let's speak about the state and the gangs. Of course, Sheikh Abdel Amir Qabalan, head of the Supreme Shia Council in Lebanon, telephoned the Prime Minister Senyoura, and he told him, Mr. Prime Minister, this is unacceptable. If Wafiq Ashaer is not doing his job concerning these surveillance cameras, which is a very, very stupid issue, why don't you open up a judicial investigation? Open up a judicial investigation. And if he is doing his job, why do you want to get rid of him? Now, let's be clear. Sheikh Qabalan and all those who stood with Sheikh Qabalan in this issue are not defending a Shia general, but are defending a national general. Because when Wafiq Ashaer is used as a scapegoat, all of the national generals in Lebanon will be used as scapegoats. And all generals will feel that they are not protected and that their state won't protect them. And so they'll be protected by leaders, political leaders. So there's nothing left. The only thing we have left here is the army. If the army collapses, nothing is left. These past few days, what prevented a civil war these past few days is the will, the national will in the country, and also the presence of the army. Now, if the national generals are used as scapegoats, it's finished. The country will go into total chaos. So I think it's not just about the airport. And it's not just about General Wafiq Ashaer. The issue is about maintaining the rest. The only block which is left, the army, is the only thing we have left, which is together, which stands together. General Ashaer is part of this. Now, Mr. Hariri said they took the decision about this, and Mr. Walid Jumblat, of course, took the decision of removing Mr. Ashaer in the Mukhtara. Why didn't he make this decision in Beirut? Now, they didn't make an investigation. They didn't try anyone. They didn't even give a chance for General Ashaer to defend himself. Okay, he was removed from his post, and he's accused of betrayal. What's he accused of? Let him defend himself. Whatever your accusations be, let him defend himself. We are the ones who speak according to the law. Now, during the events of Maram Khail, seven people who were in their prime were killed. We did not take revenge from anyone. We did not try anyone. We did not, take this issue to court. What we did is we were patient. We took it in. We said we just want a normal investigation. Whoever's responsible, let him be punished. Now, who's the gang and who's the state here? Who speaks according to the law? Who speaks according to the logic of gangs? People who are killed call for investigations because of their people, their supporters who are killed. But those who speak about a general who has served us for tens of years say they want to get rid of him from his post because of a stupid accusation, which is a surveillance camera on one of the containers, similar to cameras on thousands of containers in Lebanon, in the region. I ask you here, who are the gangs and who's the state? Who really abides by the law? And so here I'd like to say this is a decision which was made by an illegitimate government. It's an illegitimate decision, and General Ashaer will stay head of security at the airport, will continue his responsibilities, and any general who wants to take these responsibilities, we will not confess to him as head of security, will not recognize him as head of security. And of course, we believe anyone who takes the place of Mr. Wafiq Ashaer is coming to transform the airport to a base for the CIA, the FBI, and the Mossad. Whoever this general be, if he comes to take the place of General Ashaer, we believe he is coming to transform this airport to a base for the Mossad and the CIA and the FBI, whatever religious sect he belonged to. The third point, the current crisis, the current stalemate, who led to this current escalation? They did. We're patient. Of course, they fought us, and we said, okay, it's an internal matter. We have a state, we have a judicial system, and it's we have powers, people who want to, reach power. Now, concerning us, I believe we have entered a new stage. And I'd like to say here, yes, what I'm doing now, what I'm announcing now, am I announcing a war? No, I'm not. I'm announcing that we were oppressed and that we have the right to defend ourselves. This is what I'm announcing. And I'm announcing and saying that government before that night is something and after that night is something new, a new stage in Lebanon. We won't be killed anymore in the streets. We won't accept that anyone opened fire on us. We won't accept any scheme against our weapons. We won't accept anyone trying to get rid of us. If all the armies of the world come, we won't accept this. This is our decision today. Very clearly, very frankly, I say this is our decision. Who wants to negotiate with us, we are ready. Whoever wants a settlement, yes, the doors are open for a settlement. What's the exit for a solution? Two words. Of course, I tell all those people to cancel the illegitimate decisions made by the illegitimate Waleed Jumblatt government, number one. Second of all, answer the request to, of course, accept the request of Parliament Speaker Nabih Birri to join the table of dialogue. This is the way to exit. This is the solution. There's no other solution. One side has announced a war against the other, not us. They announced a war against us. One group announced a war against the other group. Now you come and ask us, do you want a solution? I just told you what the solution is. Cancel the decisions and go to dialogue. I'd like to tell the Lebanese people who know the truth, and I'd also, at the end of the speech, I'd also like to speak to the Arab and Islamic people. Of course, all people in Lebanon have begun now to speak to Arab and Islamic people. We have leaders speaking about this. Of course, we heard people speaking yesterday who never spoke in the July 2006 war for 33 days. They did not speak in this way, in this passion, when Israel, of course, destroyed the homes of the Lebanese, more than 100 homes, and when Israel assaulted the infrastructure of the Lebanon, we didn't hear such voices. Yesterday we heard them, some of them. I'd like to tell everyone, if the issue is about a national unity government, it's enough to demonstrate. For us, it's enough to demonstrate. And I said thousands of times, we're not competing for authority or for a government or for a ministry or for any post. And what you hear today, what you're going to hear today in the Islamic and Arab world, what you're hearing about an overthrow of revolution, this has no value at all. This is not our aims. What is happening in Lebanon, actually, the truth of what's happening is that there is a team which is a servant, which is loyal to the Americans and which is implementing a plan which Israel and America were not able to implement, which is to get rid of the weapons of the resistance. And ever since 2005, this team has pledged to do this. Up till now, they have failed. And so I'm not calling for assistance. I'm not calling for anyone to help me. Just like what happened in the July 2006 war. You remember, Lebanon was bombed. Southern Beirut was bombed, and I said the same thing at that time in southern Beirut. I said, we don't want assistance from anyone. We don't want help from anyone. Whoever wants to help us, we welcome it. But we don't request help from anyone. And today I say, I request one thing, understanding. Don't mislead the Arab and Islamic point of view, because they always threaten us. For the simplest things, they always said, if you do anything, it's just like we're creating tension between the Shia and Sunnah. They always threaten us with such rhetoric. And today I say, we are not worrying. We don't worry about divisions between Sunnah and Shia. Don't use this. Don't use this excuse anymore. We don't have a battle today between Shia and Sunnah, or some Sunnah and some Shia. Today, we have a national project, a national plan of resistance, honorable resistance, and another plan, an American plan. Whoever wants to be on any team, he can pick the team which he wants to be on, whether he be a sheikh or any religious person, Muslim or Christian, here has a right to choose the team he wants to be in. This is the nature of a battle today, two teams. Nobody used this excuse of the tension between the different sectarian or religious sects. They always depended on this. And now let me tell you, when they made these decisions, of course, they were putting their money on Hezbollah, that Hezbollah won't do anything, won't act, that Hezbollah would just make a statement. Why? Because Hezbollah takes into consideration, first of all, the prevention of sectarian strife. And let me tell you, whoever wants to touch the weapons of resistance, if he's a Sunni, he's not really a Sunni. And if he's a Shi'i, he's not really a Shi'i. If he's a Muslim, he's not really a Muslim. If he's a Christian, he does not, is not related to Jesus Christ at all, for us, from our perspective. So the religious tension, yes, they spoke about this. Now, second of all, the weapons of resistance, we won't use these weapons for any revolution or for changing authority, for overthrowing anyone. We will just use these weapons to defend these weapons in front of anyone. We will use these weapons to defend these weapons only. You cross the lines, and so there are no red lines for us anymore. We don't worry about divisions between Sunnah and Shia for two reasons. First of all, the Islamic and Arab world knows the nature of the battle in the country in Lebanon. My dear brothers, after the July 2006 war, there was a battle, a campaign, which was financed, billions of dollars in the Arab and Islamic world, a campaign by the media, by the newspapers, by writers, by religious figures. They went to all Arab countries and told them that Hezbollah did this and that, Hezbollah and Iran, Hezbollah and Syria, Hezbollah, Shia, Hezbollah, Italy even. But they never spoke about Israel. Of course, during 2 years, hundreds of billions of dollars were spent to ruin our reputation in the Arab and Islamic world. But this did not succeed, because the reputation of Hezbollah is a sun which has risen and which is clear. Nobody can ruin our reputation, whoever he may be. This is on one side. On the other side, because our brothers, if they, of course, these, if they are going to be used, if they use the religious rhetoric, they know the nature of our relation with certain Sunnis. Of course, even if we have disagreement with certain Sunnis in politics, they are our brothers in religion, our brothers in the country, our brothers in resistance, our brothers in destiny. And because in the Sunni sect in Lebanon, we have national leaders, national honorable leaders, and because we have Sunni national parties, honorable parties, because we have senior Sunni religious figures who are loyal to the country and who can tell the truth to the Arab and Islamic world, because of the existence of these people, there won't be divisions between Sunnah and Shia in Lebanon. There won't be such decision, such tension or divisions. So I want them to stop using this as an excuse, to stop raising this issue. Today, our decision is clear. This is how we identify the current stage, which was begun by the government of Waleed Jumblatt, the government of David Walsh, the government of Miss Condoleezza Rice, which has employees from certain religious sects, yes. And so this is how we identify the issue, and this is our decision. What I said is our decision. We have two hands. One of our hands is the hand which calls for dialogue, to go to the dialogue table, which Parliament Speaker Birri called for. And on our other hand, we have weapons. This weapon is not to assault anyone, nor to begin a revolution or to overthrow anyone. And I said this time and again in meetings. We in Hezbollah, we believe if all the Lebanese, if all the Arabs, if all the Muslims, if all the international community tells us that you have good management, you're good people, if you don't steal money, so go, we want to give you the government, we want to give you authority, I would say, I apologize. I cannot take this responsibility, because we need all groups to save the country, not one group. We don't want authority. We're not after authority. We don't want a revolution. We are not weak. We are not afraid. We are not terrified. Of course, we are very optimistic concerning the future. Your dreams are the dreams which have collapsed. You opened fire, not on us, but on your dreams when you took these decisions, these dark decisions on that dark night. But we won't assault anyone. We don't want a revolution. We don't want to control the country. Of course, they speak about the failure of a revolution, of the overthrow. Let me speak very clearly. If we really had the intention of overthrow revolution, you would have woken up in the morning in the sea or in jail. But we don't have the intention of a revolution, of overthrowing. We always said there's a problem in the country, and the political problems have political solutions in a political way. Dialogue, of course, early elections, consensus, opinion polls. We did not speak about weapons, never. So let me be very clear and decisive. What is required to exit the crisis, to reach a solution, for all those who want to reach a solution, I'd like to tell them the way to exit, to put an end to the current tense situation is to cancel the decisions of the illegitimate government and to go to the table of dialogue. Full stop. Now, if they are stubborn, yes, we would go in a different direction. This would lead us to a different direction. The game is a dangerous game. The game they're playing is a dangerous game. This is how we take into consideration the country. We want the country to be safe, and this is how the country will be safe. Go ahead, Dr. Hossein, you could pick the journalists who want to ask questions. Questions will begin now. And let me tell you, were it not for the network, the telecommunications network, I wouldn't have been able to speak with you. We would have been in one room and we would have been bombed by the Israelis. A question from the New TV. Of course, Secretary General, of course, we cannot be in personal contact with you because of your screen, but we have taken into consideration the security situation. I have a question which is a little bit branched, actually, but it seems, Secretary General, that your promises are always kept, and today you made a promise of cutting the hands of certain people. Have you been obliged to break the previous promise when you said that the weapons of resistance won't be used in Lebanon? You said that, of course, the members of resistance who were on the front lines, you said we won't see them in the streets of Lebanon. This is my first question. And if you would allow me, if you want to defend your weapons by cutting hands, then what will be left of Lebanon? Will Lebanon disappear and the resistance stay? The last part of my question, the government made decisions of war, but Secretary General, they were peaceful decisions, and the opposition, when it responds, it is only using the street, it's going down to the street. Someone describes this as chaos, and some people are expecting that the airport of Beirut will be transformed to the airport of the international airport of Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah. The government did not use anything, it only used words. Why are you resorting to different ways, to the street? Will the people stay in the street? What is the plan? And finally, the ruling majority, was it right when it expressed fear towards your weapons? How many questions did you ask? First of all, I said that weapons will not be used in Lebanon, and I stick to this promise. We won't use these weapons for any internal aim, but the law, legitimacy, religion, morals, everything, all values say, if we have weapons which are there to defend the country, not to defend a religious sect or a political party, and if someone comes to get rid of these weapons to serve the enemy of this country, this is not internal fighting. This is fighting on the front lines. This is not internal fighting. Fighting on the front lines, as I said. It's just like the fighting in Ayat al-Sha'ab against Israel, the fighting in Bint Jbeil and in Ainata against Israel. Ainata, which you go to, Mrs. Maryam. Now, of course, the second point, no, the resistance and the country will stay. Lebanon will stay. Because our reaction, we did not have a military overthrow or a military revolution. We did not do this. Yes, we went down to the street. We protested. Yes, that's correct. We blocked certain streets. We blocked the road to the airport. This is natural in any country. We see these civil procedures being taken, but we did not resort to weapons. We did not occupy Beirut. We did not invade Beirut. Yes, in the places where we were attacked or where grenades were thrown or where fire was opened against us, we reacted and we opened fire. This is the issue. But we did not go and invade Beirut, as some people say. We did not go to control. Were we aiming to control or occupy? We could have done this. This could have happened previously. But we don't allow anyone to attack us. We went down on the streets of civilians. They opened fire on us. We got our weapons and we opened fire on them to defend ourselves. The second point, yes, the government made decisions, but these decisions will be implemented. Who will they send to get rid of the telecommunications network? They will send the army, the security services. Will I fight the army, the security service? I won't fight them just for this government. From the beginning, I won't allow to reach this stage for this decision to be implemented. How do we confront? We confront via resorting to the street. This is the least we can do. It's not a statement, it's not a protest. Of course, if we want to protest, we could bring down 2 million people, then George Bush and Condoleezza Rice and Sarkozy and now Berlusconi even. They could make contacts. And so the government does not respond to such protests. Protests won't accomplish anything with this government. So, of course, we resorted to the street. And they want to make a decision which will lead to battle between the army and the resistance. I refuse this. The destiny of the street and the airport, we'll speak about this in due course. I don't want to speak about a goal or a scenario or any other plan. Does the ruling majority have a right to fear from our weapons? No, it does not have such a right. But the majority, which is coordinating with outside countries, yes, they have the right to fear from our weapons, yes. Not from now, but even before. The next question, please. Greetings, Secretary General, from BBC. Of course, they're concerning Hezbollah, how Hezbollah deals with the issue of weapons in the country. This change, will it also affect how you deal with the UNIFIL forces, the international forces in southern Lebanon? No, there's no relation between the two. No, of course, we accepted the international forces being in Lebanon to do their job, the job which was designated, not what Mr. Berlusconi said when he said he wanted to change the rules of combat. So these UNIFIL forces are in southern Lebanon, and we are dealing with them positively. We're cooperating with UNIFIL forces. They're cooperating with us. And even in the confrontation of any dangers, if the UNIFIL forces confront any dangers, our policy remains. We coordinate, we cooperate with them. The next question. Question, how do you evaluate the role of Saudi Arabia concerning what's going on? And second of all, where is the Taif Accord between what the government did and what the opposition is doing? Are we going towards a new Taif agreement, a new Taif Accord? You want to create a problem, Mr. Hussein, I believe. I wish for our brothers in Saudi Arabia not to repeat the mistake which they made at the beginning of July war, the mistake which they corrected. Concerning Lebanon, Saudi Arabia must not stand with one team against another. Saudi Arabia must show that it really cares for Lebanon, for the security and stability in Lebanon. The road to the solution is very clear. I just said we're not after authority. Of course, we always raise the slogan of unity governments, of partnership, alliances. We don't want any political positions. After all what I said, when I came to speak about the exit, and I know that many don't agree to my proposals, I said cancel the decisions of the government and come to the dialogue table, to the negotiating table, which Parliament Speaker Birri said. If our brothers in Saudi Arabia really care for the country, they must not take sides, because this battle, this struggle, the real title of the struggle is a struggle between an honorable resistance, which is respected in the Islamic and Arab world, which has achieved the biggest two victories in the history of a struggle with Israel, a battle between this resistance and people who are working for Israel, these people who will fail. So, of course, I wish for our brothers in Saudi Arabia to lend the hand of assistance, and this, the road to assistance is clear. Joyce Al-Hajj from LBC. I also have a question of two parts. First part about internally in Lebanon, if the government insists, it's insisting on not backing down. And today, Minister of Communications, of course, Telecommunications, Mr. Marwan Ahmadi, said that the government will be victorious. And you just said that Hezbollah won't back down. So it seems both teams won't back down. You said we're in a new stage. Will we see a repetition of the July 2006 war with Israel, but this time internally in Lebanon? And today the Security Council will discuss resolution 1559. If this resolution is similar, if what is reached is similar to decisions taken by the government, what will happen then, especially concerning the UNIFIL? Yeah, I mentioned what happened concerning the UNIFIL forces. We have no problem with the UNIFIL forces in southern Lebanon. The decisions of the Security Council won't be worse than decisions which were made previously by the Security Council. Of course, now the Security Council has a new piece of information which was given by the government of Walid Jumblat. So I'm not very much concerned with what the Security Council will say today. We've gotten used to the Security Council. Today, of course, is the anniversary of the Nakba in Palestine. Of course, the Security Council legitimized the Nakba. It legitimized the massacres. It legitimized the terrorism. It took the decision of dividing. The Security Council is protecting the murder terrorist country, terrorist state, this unique terrorist state, which we have seen no other state like this in history. Of course, I'm here with you, sitting with you. I don't care very much of what the Security Council says. Now, concerning a new July 2006 war now in 2008 in Lebanon, no, I don't think so. I don't think it, this might not happen. We, of course, up till now, we haven't done anything. We haven't called for protests. We have not called for any civil disobedience. We have called for dialogue, unconditional dialogue. They announced the war. Of course, now, who is victorious in the war in the end? You will see if it happens. We don't want a battle. We don't want a confrontation. We can sit on one table, we can cooperate, we can understand each other and overcome the past. Although they insulted us in this way, we still put priority on understanding. But if anyone insists on beginning a war on us and is sure of victory, I believe he can look at the experience of Ehud Olmert with us, of Beretz with us, of the experience of Ashkenazi with us, of Halatz with us. They all had experience in us. Of course, Halatz now has been removed from his post and is working in a car company. Yes, Abdullah Shamsuddin from Al Manar channel. Of course, you spoke about two conditions. First of all, going to dialogue. And also, you also spoke about the necessity of the cabinet cancelling these decisions. But you also said that we've entered a new stage after these decisions were made. And you described those who made these decisions as serving an American and Israeli scheme or plan. Of course, how can we speak about dialogue and at the same time describe them as people who are spying and serving outside interests? You seem to be angry. If they make a decision to stop the war, we go back to dialogue. If they cancel their decisions, this means that they regret these decisions. And I have information that there was a discussion, there were disagreements about this between the ruling majority, and now I have information that people in the ruling majority, certain elements in the majority, are blaming each other. They said we were too hasty because they took all these decisions in one package. Of course, they could have made these decisions one by one, but anyway, it's good that they made this comprehensive, these comprehensive decisions, because they really uncovered their true nature. We don't want to avenge anyone. We don't want to take revenge against anyone. Of course, we take the stability and Lebanon as priority. Whoever took this decision, let him back down from these decisions and go to dialogue, and we believe that the dialogue will solve the problems. Salam Khudur from Al Jazeera. Of course, you said that the street won't be transformed into divisions, but of course we're seeing what's happening. There is certain violence. What could prevent divisions and a conflict between Sunnah and Shia? I said there are guarantees. We represent guarantees, our allies represent guarantees. Hezbollah and the Amal movement are being targeted directly today. And also we have vigilancy from the Sunnis. The Sunnis are awake. Of course, we have responsible Sunni religious leaders. We have responsible Sunni leaders in general. You asked the question, I'd like to say, I'd like to tell our brothers in the future movement, not all the Sunnah, because not all Sunnah are in the future movement, but I'd like to tell the future movement, it's within your interest to have a stable country, to have a peaceful country, to have a country whereby you can be a primary important political party. Nobody wants to cancel you out, and I don't want to create divisions. I want to describe the facts. The dream of Mr. Walid Jumblat is a division, a conflict between Sunnah and Shia. So I wish that the future movement not to help Walid Jumblat to achieve, to fulfill this dream. I hope this won't be achieved. Mr. Walid Jumblat always changes positions. If you want a solution, we could reach a solution now. But in an immoral way, I could send someone to Walid Jumblat and tell him, my dear friend, we agree to an alliance. In the next elections, we'll be allies with you. It could be solved this way. But it's an immoral way of solving the issue. And then he'd change his rhetoric. He'd speak in the same way he spoke in 2005 and defend the weapons of resistance and attack, verbally attack the American administration, except if he's reached a stage whereby he cannot turn back. But Hezbollah won't do this. This is immoral. It's totally immoral. Our allies who stood with us and we stood with them, we will stay with them side by side in the elections, in prayers, in good and in bad times. So I say no, we can cooperate so that we won't reach a religious conflict. But this needs efforts from everyone. Next question.
What you've said, your strong words about the airport and your communication system, but the government don't look like they're going to back down. Don't you and the government risk dragging this country into another civil war?
The translation of the question in Arabic. Yes, we have responsibility. We were assaulted. People, just in one night, made a decision to attack us. Today, I have the privilege. I'm on the terrorism list. I'm wanted for the Bush administration. I'm wanted to be tried. And for Olmert, I'm wanted on the death penalty. The third accusation, of course, they want to hunt me down in the judicial authorities. The Senora government wants to hunt me down. They want to take this judicial procedures against me. Of course, in the world, they always forget who the victim is. They are trying to show us as being the oppressor, not the oppressed, just like they did in the July 2006 war. Today, we are the victim. Before the government made these decisions, we weren't intent on doing anything. We were calling for dialogue. There was no movement on the ground. There were no steps being taken on the street. We did not resort to the street. We all were saying that there are elections next year and the elections will decide the political conflict in the region. But all of a sudden, they made a decision that the security services must hunt down anyone who has taken part in the establishment of the telecommunications network. They are attacking us. They are attacking my house, my brothers, my existence, my honor. I have the right to defend myself. Of course, my honor comes number one. A question also, what if the ruling majority doesn't take into consideration the strike, and if it opens the airport in Layat, and if this strike does not affect the government, does Hezbollah have any way to block the road of the Layat airport, which is in northern Lebanon, far away from any Hezbollah population? Let me tell you something. If this strike in Beirut, downtown Beirut, did not have any effect, why are they against it? If it were a small issue which is not affecting it, they wouldn't have complained. Were it a very small issue, no minister or prime minister or anyone who comes to Lebanon, they always, as they say, they always go and take a glimpse of this strike in downtown Beirut. So I don't agree with you that this strike doesn't have any effect. Concerning how we will act, will we have a strike in the airport? Will we continue? How will we continue? When? Where? This is not the subject of discussion at the press conference, and allow me, of course, not to reveal these details, because we're in a confrontation, and I hope we can end this difficult stage, end this scheme against Lebanon with the least possible consequences. Next question. The first question, you, of course, spoke about conditions, cancelling the decisions of the government and going to dialogue. Are you ready, of course, to back down from this? Would you agree if the government just wanted to go to dialogue without cancelling the decisions, will this be acceptable to you? It's very clear. Someone has announced a war against me and he wants me to negotiate with him. And he's, of course, made a decision for security services to take action. No, I'd say the two conditions, not just one of them, both of them, dialogue and the necessity of the government backing down from its decisions. Yes, do you hope to be a president of Lebanon, or do you want this political position to be for a Maronite Christian, and do you want this position to be for a Maronite Christian in the near future? For us, we don't want any change in the authority structure in Lebanon. And some people accuse us because we have this decision. We agree to the implementation of the Taif agreement. Now, in the end, if there is a Lebanese will which wants amendments, this is the Lebanese will. But we, as a political party, we don't want any amendments. No, we want the political structure to stay as it is. We don't have any proposals concerning the political positions in Lebanon. We don't want to reach the presidency or to be prime ministers or any of this. Abbas Sabagh Al Nahar newspaper question. Some, of course, called on Hezbollah, especially Sheikh Mohammed Rashid Qabani, called on removing the armed people from the streets of Beirut. Don't you think that the involvement of resistance in the internal front, don't you think it will have an effect on Hezbollah concerning its duty to defend Lebanon against Israel, against outside assaults? First of all, there are no attackers in Lebanon. There are no armed people in Lebanon, in Beirut. Those who are in Beirut are the citizens of Lebanon and Beirut. They elect in Beirut. They're not just the inhabitants of Beirut. They also elect in Beirut. And of course, some of them belong to Beirut, were born in Beirut. They did not assault anyone. They were attacked and they defended themselves. And so anyone who wants to throw around accusations, let him investigate. And then he can throw around accusations. Now, concerning the second part of the question, Let me say something. Now, of course, we have a stage of escalation. We actually, when the ruling majority was saying that in the summer, the Israel will launch a military attack on Lebanon, and I said this also a few months ago, I said that the Israelis are waiting for May or June. Let me uncover a secret. We have a plot, we have a plan to defend Lebanon, to defend our existence in case of any new Israeli attack. This is normal. We always have these plans. We always plan. We always, of course, take all scenarios into consideration. We make our preparations. Now, part of these preparations or part of these scenarios, because of information which we had, which reached us, in case of any Israeli military attack on Lebanon, there are certain elements here in Lebanon will open an internal war with the resistance. And so the resistance will be in front of two wars at the same time. Two wars at the same time. An internal war in Lebanon and a war with Israel. Now, we are ready for both wars. Let me, of course, assure you, and I wish, I hope, we won't have any wars, but we know where we know the country we are in, and so we look at the worst possible scenario, and we have the capability to defend our existence. But in the near future, no, I don't think we have one war or two wars. A question, of course, we heard reports about contacts between Iran and Syria. Was there any mediation? And today, of course, during the next few hours, government might take a decision concerning the situation of maybe imposing a curfew. Okay, you raised three questions in one. First of all, the information I have is that the Saudi ambassador in Lebanon contacted the Iranian ambassador, not after the cabinet made its decisions, but after the opposition reacted to these decisions, after we resorted to the street, the Saudi ambassador contacted the Iranian ambassador. He said, the Saudi foreign minister has told me to coordinate with you. The Iranian ambassador called me, actually, and he told me that... And of course, we had the same contacts with, they contacted Parliament Speaker Birri as well. And so, of course, the Iranian ambassador told me that Saudi Arabia wants to cooperate to, of course, prevent a difficult situation. And my answer was, let them freeze the decisions they made and everything will end. We don't have any intentions, any bad intentions. The Saudi ambassador reported back and he said that it's very difficult for the government to back down from its decisions. This is what happened. This is what happened concerning the contacts between the ambassadors, the Saudi and Iranian ambassadors. Now, concerning the government, the Lebanese government, this is an illegitimate government. And so all its decisions are illegitimate, whether it be concerning our communications network or about removing General Shaid from his post or about the judicial system, the judicial procedures. The decisions of this government are not worth the ink they are written with. The government is acting in a national way, in national responsibility, in a balanced way, in a non-aligned way, and the head of the army, all the army, knows the sensitivity of the situation. And before I came to this press conference, I was listening to the statement. I heard part of the statement by the head of the army, which shows that the army knows the true danger of the situation. And of course, we believe that the army is a national guarantee, and it is not allowed. We won't allow the use of the army to target any team. We can take two more questions. Yes, George Farsha, free journalist. A question, you spoke a lot about war, and the term of war, the word of war, was heard more than once from you today. We all know that we all go to wars after drums are banged. But we, of course, the war ends with tears, with very difficult situations. Do you have any expectations about how any war could end? First of all, there is no civil war. It's an overreaction concerning the description of the current situation. The media overreacted in its description of certain confrontations which happened. Of course, they spoke about invasions, about occupation, about civil wars. No. Are there certain signs of war? Of a war? Maybe, yes. But what I spoke about is the war which the other team imposed on us. We don't want a war with anyone. We've always said time and again, dialogue, political partnerships, political alliance, you hear me and everyone's hearing me. We don't want a war with anyone. Whoever made decisions which would lead to a war must cancel these decisions and everything will end. We're waiting. Not 1 year. Of course, 2 years ago, I said that we don't want to resort to anything which will threaten civil peace for the sake of authority. The 2 years will be over. The years will be over. We'll reach elections. We spoke about elections. We depended on elections, not on battles, not on internal confrontations. Those who made decisions for civil war, let them back down from these decisions. We always call on the victim. We always tell the victim. We tell the victim, please be patient. But the knife is on our neck. The last question. Faisal Abdissater, a question. Abdel Nasser still represents something very big in the minds of the people, although, of course, he led to a big loss for the Arabs in 1967. Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah, who is behind the two biggest victories in the history of the Arab-Israeli struggles, of course, isn't very rude that the people of this region don't speak about Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah as a leader who has achieved victory? This is your personal point of view more than a question. Of course, I thank you for your nice, for your good intentions. But I said during this press conference, I thank all those who respect me in the Islamic and Arab world. Of course, the opinion polls show, of course, the support for me, of course, as you know very well. I am proud that they support me. And I'm not calling for anything. I'm not calling for anyone to support me. I did not say, hey, come and support me. I'm not calling for anyone to intervene to defend me. As I said before, if anyone wants to help me, okay, I welcome this. But I'm not calling. I'm not requesting help. What I'm calling in the Arab and Islamic world is understanding, a very simple request, not to, of course, make these big, hasty decisions, not, of course, to believe everything which is said. They depend. There's a lot of dependence on this resistance. This resistance will change the nature of a region in one day or another if Israel makes a decision to attack Lebanon. My dear brothers, all those who are listening to me to the Arab and Islamic world, this is not a speech, a slogan speech. I know who supports me. I know our capabilities. I know and I trust everything. I depend on Allah. And I, of course, after the 40th day of the assassination of Martyr Ahmad Mughniye, when I said, if the Israeli army attacks Lebanon, if the Israeli army invades Lebanon, and the Israeli army on the very night it assassinated Mr. Mughniye, it had five contingents teams, five army units on the border with Lebanon. This does not terrorize us. And I, of course, promise the Islamic and Arab world, I don't want to open a war with anyone. No. This is Israel, which is celebrating this 60th anniversary. But because of the resistance, the two biggest defeats, we had two big defeats against Israel. This country, this is Israeli illegitimate state, of course, had to, of course, perform many amendments because of this resistance. I want to tell the Arab people the resistance lifted the heads of all honorable people. And this resistance is not a resistance for one religious sect. It's not a resistance for one party. It does not have any aims to reach authority. Samir Jaja accuses us of being a party for the Ummah. Now we're confused. They speak about us as Lebanese, then they say Ummah, then they say we belong to one sect. What I'm saying, what I want, I'm not requesting any support. As I said, I'm not calling for help from anyone, and I hope I won't be obliged to call for help from anyone. We still keep our promise. I only want them to understand what we say. I want them not to believe those voices who want to, of course, give a sectarian label or sectarian picture to the battle. They are serving Israel and America, who are celebrating today the establishment of the Israeli state on our territories in Palestine and on the bodies of our women and children in Palestine. Yes, a last question. A question. Let's speak very frankly. Whatever be your justifications, there are many voices which we will hear after this press conference, and the first response will be from MP Saad al-Hariri. According to leakages, Saad al-Hariri is getting ready for a harsh response to you, similar to what you just said now. Now, what do you think will be the state of Lebanon after tonight? Are you ready, as Hezbollah, to, of course, put up with the consequences? Because what will happen today won't affect only Lebanon, but will affect the whole region. Yes, of course, I do expect comments on what I have just said. Yes, I expect people to comment on what I just said. Of course, I spoke in a logical way. I said this is right, this is wrong. But I expect the same rude rhetoric which we hear always after the end of my speeches and my press conferences. Not just after what I say, but what after people in the opposition say. They always, of course, criticize very harshly, use rude rhetoric against the opposition. They open fire on Parliament Speaker Birri, and then they take a break for 1 week, 10 days, and then they go and criticize and start, of course, cursing Michel Aoun. Then after 1 week or 10 days, they go and verbally attack Mr. Karami, Mr. Omar Karami, or Mr. Suleiman Frangieh. They go from one member of the opposition to other. Now, when they focus on us, when they focus their words on us, on me, and stop, of course, criticizing my allies, okay, tell us, your problem is with us, deal with us, don't attack other members of the opposition. This is one point. The second, and here I speak from a defense position, and I'm not speaking about an, of course, opposition, but I'm speaking about a way to reach a solution. Now, of course, they want to continue. That's their decision. We're in the position of defense, a position of reaction to an action. But our reaction was not expected. Yes, this is true. They were surprised by our reaction. I'd like to tell them we've entered a new stage. You insist on the war. Our reactions will always be unexpected. Will we be able to put up with the results? Yes, we will be able to do this. We know who we are. We know, of course, the magnitude of the plan against us. We know what we possess, and we are ready to take responsibility of all results. They're always going to say, of course, I've just received a paper which said that Mr. Marwan Hamadi is saying on Al Arabiya, no, he has no information about a bargain between the telecommunications network and stopping the strike in downtown Beirut. He might not know. He doesn't know everything. He has a limited job. He goes and does his job. He does not know all the information, and we must take advantage of what we have, of the information we have. I have my information, Hezbollah has his information. I say something, they say something, and the world knows. who is honest and who is the liar. The people can judge. And assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
As you just listened to Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah's news conference in Beirut on the developments, on the recent developments in Lebanon, as you know, there's a tense situation going on, and clashes between government supporters and opposition protesters has continued for the second day. Sayyid Hassan Nasrallah was there to explain these tensions and these mounting problems. In the different things that he mentioned, of course, was the first issue about the communication network, which the government, Lebanese government, has decided to bring down, and he was explaining that this communication network was basically a commanding network for the Hezbollah, and it was already used as a structure which was very important for the resistance, for the Lebanese resistance, and it was vital to the continuation of Hezbollah's resistance against the enemy and not for internal uses. He mentioned that this telecommunication process was there before 2000, when Hezbollah was already part and an ally of the government, and the government knew about this telecommunication system, and that of course this system was of course also a means for the Israelis to try to break down the resistance. And he even mentioned the Winograd report, which was one of the reasons to the different operations done in Lebanon, was to break down the Hezbollah's communication. So therefore, this communication is very vital for Hezbollah as well as for Lebanon to be able to confront and use as an alternative state for the state communication. The second issue, of course, was this issue of the security officers removal from the Beirut airport. And of course, once again, it refers to the fact that Hezbollah has presence in the different places in Lebanon, and this as well was as a priority, as a safety priority for Hezbollah, that he considers is essential to be able to back down some of the operations which are happening in Lebanon. For example, to use the Beirut airport, the Beirut International Airport, as a key, as a network for command for the services, the FBI, CIA, and Mossad. Therefore, they will not accept any sort of a change in the situation in the airport, and they will deny any sort of change in this case. They're, of course, refusing any sort of confrontation. They do not look for any sort of direct confrontation, but Hezbollah is trying to show its resistance by protesting in the streets and not using any sort of violence apart from that. Nasrallah also mentioned the fact that whoever is going to begin war is going to listen to the resistance of Hezbollah. Of course, now we have with us